Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to come to you for our offering right now. We're going to receive the offering. We want to thank you so much for your giving so that we can keep the lights on, keep the air conditioner on. Praise God. If it came between the lights and the air conditioner, I think we'd let the lights go out and have a candlelight service with the air conditioner on. Can you say amen? We're in the middle of a hot Florida summer, and I remember when I had an old car, and it wasn't worth over $1,200, and it was going to take about the same amount to get the air conditioner fixed, and I decided it's not worth it. It was my work car, and I'm going to just drive to work, roll my window down like I used to back in the day. Amen? My dad had a little Willis. First thing I knew about air conditioning, he bought a 40-something Willis, and it had one of those little fans that sits on the dash and goes back and forth. And every now and then, a little bitty puff of that air would come over to me, amen, on my side. And I thought, boy, we're uptown now. We're way down. We're a long way from Kentucky now. Can you say amen? You got air conditioning. But all that thing do was just blowing that hot air back and forth in the front seat. Amen. That's all it could do. But God is good and God has blessed us. And if you want to know the rest of the story about that car, I broke down and put an air conditioner in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Whether I get the money out or not, it didn't matter. I got to have some relief. But God is good. I got a truck that needs one now, but I'm tough. I'm toughing it out because I don't drive it as much as I do the car. Praise God. God is good. We want to thank you for your giving. We're blessed today in so many ways, even though we're in an economic condition that we need the Lord's help more than we've ever needed it. And I believe we're going to have it for the things that we truly need. I believe God is going to come through. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may not get the Rolex, but there's probably a good Timex on sale. J.C. Penney's. Can you say amen? And it'll tell you what time it is, and that's what it's all about. Praise God. We love you today. We appreciate you. If you're facing economic difficulty, don't be discouraged. There's a whole lot of people in the same boat today. We need to pray for kings and those that are in authority because it affects all of our lives distinctly and directly. But above and beyond that, we have a God in heaven who said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said he would comfort us as a mother comforteth her children. I believe that. Amen. And he told me as a father, if I don't provide for my own as a dad, that I'm denying the faith and I'm worse than the infidel because I know better. Infidel may not even know better, but I know better. Amen. So our Heavenly Father is not going to forget you and me. Amen. He's not going to ask more of me than he demands of himself. Amen. In fact, he said, if you as fathers, if your son asked for a fish, would you give him a stone? If he asked for a piece of bread, would you give him a serpent? Amen. You wouldn't give him bad things or evil things. You want to bless him with good things. Can you say amen? And you are still in that fallen body, in that fallen world, and yet you know how to express love to your children. He said, how much more? If you can do that, amen. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him and give good things to them that ask him? There's two scriptures. One speaks of the Holy Spirit, which is a good thing. Can you say amen? But it's the best thing, and Jesus Christ, but also when he meets our daily needs, our daily bread, amen. He's taking care of us as a good, gracious, Heavenly Father. So look up. Don't get discouraged. It's not over yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's not giving up on us. Let's don't give up on him. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we bless this offering today. It's a rainy day. It's more special when people come. It must be more special, Father, when we give. And Lord, we're in economic conditions that are like they are right now. But Father, we thank you for those that will remember you and will set aside for you and honor you, that Lord, in their need, you might honor us and bless us according to your word, your will, and your purpose. We receive it as we give. And everyone said, amen. And amen. Thank you for your giving today. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles, a very familiar verse of Scripture. And it really integrates perfectly to me into our teaching on prayer because it's about praying for our nation. And it's real important that we not just consume prayer on our own personal needs as desperate as they are, but we remember the things that are actually going to work together to help meet our personal needs. And that is when God's blessing is on this nation and we have revival in the church, then our needs are going to be abundantly met. Can you say amen? Let me read something to you before we begin reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I want to put it in context and read verse 12 because we want to see the situation taking place when we as God's people are called to prayer. Let me read you some things about America. French writer, and I'm not going to try his last name, Alexis D. Well, I will. I think it's Tocqueville. T-O-C-Q-U-E-V-I-L-L-E. French writer. You know, the French at one time really respected what America stood for. That's why the Statue of Liberty was given as a gift, because of what had been achieved in such a short time by such a young nation. I believe they recognized the blessing of God on this nation. Can you say amen? We couldn't be the nation that we are today without the blessing of the Lord. And we can't stay the nation that we are without the blessing of the Lord. Can you say amen? I think we put too much responsibility on the president, as powerfully influential as he is. I think we put too much responsibility on the president of the United States to solve all of the national issues. We have spiritual issues with God, and he can't solve them for us. He could lead us in some prayer, amen, and call the nation to prayer to the living and true God. He could do that much, but he can't do a whole lot more. If we're not under God's blessing, then politicians are going to be hard-pressed to pull us out of the conditions that we're in. Can you say amen? How many believe we need God's blessing back on this nation as a whole? All right, listen to me. French writer Alexis D. Tocqueville, after visiting America in 1831, said, and I quote, "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests. And it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning. And it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution. And it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness." Wow. I want to ask you as I read these things, if you think that we've drifted, if you have a sense that we are drifting. He said, "I didn't find it in all the great institutions. It's when I went into the churches where her pulpits were aflame with righteousness. And I understood the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." How many people can agree with that today? We're drifting. And we're drifting, the nation's drifting, because that flame of fire in the pulpit. I'm not talking about the charismata. I'm not talking about whether you fall out or get holy laughter. And I'm not disqualifying those experiences. I'm telling you, the issue here is righteousness. It's not how high you jump. It's how straight you walk when you hit the ground. It's not what you do in the building. It's what you do when you walk through those doors and interact with this fallen culture and society that's against everything that Christ stood for and taught. Amen? Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. There are no exceptions. No one is above the consequences of rebellion and sin. And when righteousness was taught and people took it to heart in the pulpits of America, God blessed this nation. And when righteousness is no longer the message, but covetousness and greed and avarice, the get-rich gospel won't change the economic condition of America. It won't change it in your life. Giving to get is not how you get. Let me read you something about the Roman Empire. It took 20 years to compile all the information to write this cohesive historical document, the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire, one of the richest, most militarily powerful empires in the world, the last of the great giants that Daniel saw come on the world. The next to the last was the Roman Empire. And the next renewed empire will involve that same area. Amen. It'll be not as strong as it was. It'll be iron and clay instead of just iron. But listen, he took 20 years of study in a book that thick, and he brought it down to 5 points. If you want to know 5 points that Edward Gibbon wrote, he attributed this to the fall of Rome. Number one, see if this rings and touches anything in our nation today. The rapid increase of divorce, the undermining, this is all under point one, the undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home, which is the basis for human society. Higher and higher taxes, and the spending of public monies for free bread and circuses for the populace. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure. Sports becoming every year more exciting and more brutal. You've seen the movie probably about the gladiators and the documentaries about that, when people wanted to see more than just people win a race. They wanted to see people fight to the death. And they wanted to see people killed in that arena by lions being turned loose on them, and them wrapped in animal skins and wild dogs turned loose on them. And Christians became part of the pleasure of ancient Rome under Nero. They burned them on crosses, someone said that's the first mention of a Roman candle was not anything to do with the 4th of July and fireworks. It was Christians that were bathed in tar and lit on crosses, and they literally had garden parties at night while Christians gave light by their burning corpses. And that's how hard and cold man can become, how hateful and mean and cruel. Bible speaks of lovers of money, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and the love of money becoming the root of all evil. Can you say, man, the basis for it? Not money itself, but a passion for it that surpasses everything and excludes everything else, and we're willing to sell our souls for gold and silver. Number four, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy was within. The decadence of the people. There's a scripture that we quote out of context, and I will take liberties with it because it's such a great scripture for evangelism. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And that's the truth. But that context of that scripture was not evangelistic. It was not New Testament. It was in the Old Testament. And the real rendering of it, if you want to take the Hebrew and read it and study it, I'll render it for you that the way they heard it, where there is no clear word in the mouth of the prophets, no vision, no understanding of what God truly wanted them to say, the people lose all moral restraints. Can you say amen? Where there's no vision, the people perish. When the prophet will not preach righteousness anymore. Amen. So God can exalt us and exalt anyone. Amen. God is concerned about righteousness. Amen. Noah, the eighth from Adam, an ark builder. We just know him as the builder of an ark. The Bible said he was far more than an ark builder. The New Testament says Noah, the eighth from Adam. Amen. A preacher of righteousness. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Amen. This French man said, I found the secret in her churches. Amen. Because in every pulpit in America, they're preaching righteousness. And people are taking it to heart. And God is blessing America. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what we need? We need all the people preaching the material and the temporal to stop and tell us the truth on Sunday. Whether they stay on television or not, God didn't need television in the first century, and He don't need it in the 21st century. We need a move of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? If God's Spirit comes down on Tampa, we don't have to have television to get people to Jesus. Just thought I'd run that by you. You know, they didn't even have the television or the mailing list. But the Bible said when they came into town, the men are come here that have turned the cities upside down. Well, how'd they do it? They preached righteousness and the Holy Ghost did the work. My Bible said the Lord added to the church. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Because I know you can't say woo. Yes, you can. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost did it. The Holy Ghost did it. Holy Ghost is so absent in so many services. If he don't show up, no one will miss him. Preacher's got his sermon down. Amen. Studied it all night long. Heard the story of a preacher had about 8 pages of notes that he had prepared. Had them laying up on the pulpit. It was the air conditioner went out in the church. And so they had to open all the windows and turn on fans. A big breeze come and took every one of his notes. It's almost like they followed each other out the window. And he stopped in the middle of his opening statement and said, "Well, my notes are gone. This morning, I guess I'll just have to depend on the Holy Ghost." Probably the best message they ever had. And I take notes and I study to show myself approved. But listen, without the Holy Ghost, I know I'm not going to be able to get through the oyster shell. You know what I'm talking about. I can't crack the oyster of your heart without the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And here's even more notes. Glory to God. If I preach all of this, we'll have hot dogs catered in from the people's houses who were planning on going somewhere and couldn't. The building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy was within, the decadence of the people. Number 5, the decay of religion. Faith fading into mere form. Didn't the Bible say one of the signs of the last days that men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and there would be a form of godliness that did what? Denies the power thereof. The power of godliness is the power of lives that are changed, hearts that are changed. So many people are claiming to be followers of Christ with no demonstrable change in their life. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a change when Jesus comes in. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's not just a church member or a church goer. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything. Everybody say all things have become new. Praise God. I still like that old camp meeting song. The day after somebody got saved, they got up and wrote these lyrics. I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Can you say amen? Glory to God. We used to sing a great anthem at our church. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Old things have passed away. All things are new today. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Satan's no longer my master. Jesus becomes the Lord of your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. We're not covering up our sin with grace. We're conquering our sin because of grace. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. No longer a slave anymore. I'm going to submit to you that what was happening in Rome at her pinnacle, at her height, before her fall, is happening in America today. We could go into detail and use statistics and common sense and show you that these 5 things are existing in our nation right now. Let me tell you what our founding fathers, the way they looked at everything, what was their worldview, what was their theology? Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Pretty specific, isn't it? Hallelujah. Oh, today that sounds, how could anybody that's involved in politics or drawing up legislation identify Jesus as the true mediator between God and man? Because that's not politically correct. Well, it may not be politically correct, but it's spiritually true. Can you say amen? And when you're dealing with somebody's soul, you can't think about not offending somebody that don't believe the truth. We got a school teacher, Mike. He won't cut no corners. He does not grade on a curve. I love to be with him here in church. I wouldn't want to be in his class. Unless I was a very committed student. Because he's not going to give me a B when I made a D. I'm going to get the D. He's a fair man, firm and fair. Now he's going to evaluate teachers. He's so good at it, he's going to evaluate them. Wow. Someone did say this, since we're talking on prayer this morning, as long as there are tests in schools, there will always be prayer in schools. Just thought I'd run that by you. It's true. I prayed a lot. Amen. When I didn't study like I should. God didn't listen, but I tried. Some ray of hope. Listen to what John Quincy Adams said. The highest glory of the American Revolution was this, that it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. Wow. John Jay, first justice of the Supreme Court, one of the three men most responsible for the Constitution. Listen to what he said. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Can you imagine somebody talking like that? Can you imagine the outrage of preferring Christians in America? Can't do that up in here. That's right. Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States. This is what was cited in a legal situation. Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in the sense and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. The purest principles of morality are to be taught. Where are they found? Whoever searches for them must go to the source from which a Christian man derives his faith, and that is the Bible. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. People versus Ruggles. This is stuff that was brought out in court cases, amen, when there's a conflict. Whatever strikes at the root of Christianity tends manifestly to the dissolutionment of civil government. First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Wow. Thomas Jefferson, President of the United States, January 1st, 1802, said these words, "The First Amendment has erected a wall of separation between church and state. But that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in the government." All right. And when I'm reading this, when I'm hearing myself say it, I can just see them on the talk shows. I can see them just absolutely spitting venom and hate at anyone who would dare talk about a Christian nation with Christian leaders founded on Christian principles. Amen. How far as a nation we've drifted. One great preacher of old, if I can find his statement, maybe I can state it as he stated it. But he said God is a just God. He's a God of justice. And he said, if God is a God of justice, then as a nation, we should fear Him. Because as sure as God is a God of justice, justice will prevail. God's justice will prevail in this nation. God can't bless a nation that's in rebellion against Him. and the preachers that are preaching that are leading us down a primrose path on a collision course with God. And we need God's mercy, and it's obtainable. Here's the good news. God's mercy is obtainable. Amen. One of the reasons I'm teaching so strongly on qualifying for prayer is because the needs, our personal needs are so great. But it goes beyond our personal need. We need to qualify to pray so that the national needs can be met. Can you say amen? And the global needs can be met. Let's read about Israel wrong with God and God's offer to heal their land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard your prayer. That's real important. That we're in a position where God will listen. The issue of prayer is not whether or not that you pray in enough faith as the only issue. Faith is part of prayer. In fact, if you've got the faith to pray, amen, I believe you've got the faith to get an answer. If you really believe that God is listening when you pray, they that come to God must believe that He is. I don't have a problem with that. How about you? Amen. When I became a Christian, Genesis became fine with me. God said, let there be and there was. Well, the God I serve is that big, that mighty, that wise, that powerful, and that wonderful. When I got saved, amen, all of these questions were answered. Somehow the Bible said that we were illuminated when we became Christians. Can you say amen? Now, I know the world has a problem with Genesis, but I have no problem with that. He couldn't be God if He can't pull this off. Amen? Couldn't be the God of the Bible. It really it amuses me and makes me mad at the same time. I don't know where to laugh or smack somebody. And I can't smack anybody, so I just laugh. Amen. And try to laugh it off and say, what crazy people these are. Amen. When they say there was, see, there's a scientific, now I'm not a great scientist. I guess you can tell that. Amen. Or a biologist, or I'm not into physics and all of those things. But I can tell you one thing that Wernher von Braun, who is the father of rocket science, literally given him that title because of his intelligence and knew how to develop these gases and not just blow things up, but have things go where you want them to go. Amen. You know what he said? He said there is a fundamental truth as a basis for all scientific searching and interest, and it is this, that nothing, absolutely nothing, comes from nothing. I think there was another scientist. What was his name? He used to play the keyboard. Does anybody know his name? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Billy Preston. Pretty good science. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. He didn't know Wernher von Braun, but he knew Billy Preston just like that. Can you say amen? My man. Hallelujah. I can depend on it. Amen. Billy Preston. Nothing from nothing. That's good science, isn't it? That's not just a pop tune. Wernher von Braun says, okay, okay. Amen. You can develop all of your scientific prognosis, all of your scientific teaching and thinking. You can talk about it all day long, but you're going to come back to this when you're teaching evolution. This was a scientist's problem with evolution, not a preacher's. And you know what it was? Nothing. From nothing. Leaves nothing. You got to have something. You got this water out here, and a one-celled amoeba appeared in the water after 46 billion years. Somebody was there counting the time. It doesn't matter if it's 46 billion, 46 million. It doesn't matter. Nothing from nothing. You can't argue that scientifically. Now, once you get the one-celled amoeba, you can start building, amen, your argument on the fact that it grew to two cells after another million years. But life started in a one cell. Life just started. Oh, by the way, I believe fervently in the Big Bang Theory. Listen, all of this is called a theory. It's the theory of evolution, but it's taught as a fact. And to pass college classes, you got to write down that's how it is. Amen. It's the theory, the theory, the theory. You know why it's a theory? Because it simply cannot be proven as a fact. but we're accepting a theory as a fact. Amen. There's the Big Bang Theory. How did the universe evolve? Well, all these gases or whatever up there. Amen. And I don't know without Taco Bell how there could be that much gas in the universe. But anyway, all these gases, whatever's up there, just and they came from somewhere. And suddenly it exploded. There was this big explosion. Amen. And there was this big bang. And suddenly here's the earth. Amen. It's on fire. It took millions of years to cool down. But here it sits out in the universe. It bang! There it is. And I thought, I believe that. I believe the Genesis account is in agreement with that. God said, and let there be a firmament. Bang! There was a firmament. Amen? God, yeah, whoops, there it is. Amen? It's the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang. God said, let there be, and bang, there was. The earth was without form and void. Amen. And the waters covered the deep, and the Lord separated the waters from the dry land. I serve a God like that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I serve a God like that. There was no stars in the sky. No Milky Way. No Orion. Amen. No galaxies. And the Lord said, let there be a firmament. Bang! There was a firmament. So it's no marvel to me that the Lord will say when you ask for salvation, amen, that God can bang, change you from the inside out, seal you with the Holy Spirit, make you a new creation in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I happen to believe in the Big Bang Theory. Wow. God is Almighty God. He'll always be God. And He requires something of us. He requires more than we just develop our faith to a hyper level. He requires. Literally, I heard a scripture on that out of context, and I'm a stickler for putting it in context because the great verifier of scripture is other scripture, not a scripture and someone's personal interpretation of it. That's why we need to be students of the Bible. We need to get down in the book, and we need to see the context of the text. And that's why I'm starting at verse 12 instead of the most familiar verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, we just quote that out of the context, and we need to get the context. We need to get the context of where there's a vision, the people perish, amen, where there's no vision, because all we want to do is try to have effective evangelism, and effective evangelism starts with an effective witness. Not a great tract or a great knowledge of the scripture, but a personal life that's like a city set on a hill. Becoming the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're living epistles, and we're read before they listen to anything you say. In fact, one man got it right. Your life is talking so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying. If our life doesn't speak, no one's going to listen to our words. And that's why so many people that are saying they need the money to reach people are turning so many people off. Because they're not hearing about Jesus, and they're not hearing about the cross, and the pulpits are not where there's flamings of fire, preachers preaching righteousness to America. It exalted us to begin with. It'll exalt us again. If people will preach it and people will heed it. They didn't listen to Noah, so they perished. But it didn't stop Noah from preaching righteousness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to this. This text is so important. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now, why would God ever do that? God, why would God ever punish, chastise His people? Well, let's don't just keep this in the old covenant, because somebody's going to write all this off. Amen. The Bible said if you're a New Testament believer, if you are a real, bona fide son of God and child of God, what does He do to every son that He loves? If it becomes necessary. He chastens every son that He loves, the Bible said, and scourges everyone that He receives. I know He does me. Amen. If I go to bed with a bad attitude, I get up the next morning and need something from God, I'm under his chastening rod. I can't pray till I get that right. I can't try to override him. I can't just write a check to a preacher and get out of that. Can you say amen? Amen. He knows what's in my heart. I want to be right with God. That preacher can give me promises all day long, but I'm not dealing with him. How many know God is not obligated to do what he said? Unless what he says lines up with what God will. And when God wills to teach me a lesson, I could write $10 million to a televangelist and couldn't get a blessing until I get it right with God. Thank you for the hearty amen. They won't tell you that. Because somebody got to get gas for that airplane. They need to quit thinking about who's going to get gas for the airplane. Can you say amen? Come on, I'm serious about this. It's funny, we're laughing, but that is what the majority of Pentecostals are following. But look at the nation. Do we represent that nation that I just read about to you? Do our leaders represent those men and women? Do our preachers represent flames of fire preaching righteousness from pulpits? No, we're blind leaders of the blind. And it hasn't brought blessing. Because the only thing that would exalt a nation is what God said would exalt it. It's righteousness. When you preach getting right with God, the majority of people would rather write a check. Because you don't have to bow to Him to get a blessing from Him. But to get right with Him, you've got to bow. And to get Him to listen to you, you've got to get right in your heart. There's a prayer that I believe is the most appropriate prayer for any Christian in this room, and particularly for the church in America. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew in me a right spirit. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And cast me not away from what? Thy presence, can you say, man? And restore unto me the joy of your salvation. That's not New Testament salvation through the blood of Christ. That is Old Testament deliverance when they prayed and God came through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God came through. Hallelujah. When you pray and God comes through, there's joy. And the Bible said, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Hallelujah. The shouts of victory. I shouted victory when my son was delivered from alcohol. God heard my prayer. 30 years with no delirium tremors. 30 years with no drugs to help him get off of it. 30 years broken. Bang! God did it just like he took down the walls of Jericho. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 30 years of damage to a liver, which was already being damaged according to the test at 21. 30 years of damaged liver. Can you say amen? Healed. Bang. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you're waiting on a dose to get your joy, you just keep on waiting. Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, that means you honor, respect, bow to, and seek to obey His will and His through His word. You'll ask what you will. It's not just a faith issue, it's that word in you. And you in that word, can you say amen? Glory be to God. You'll ask what you will. Why? Because your will and His won't ever come in conflict. Can you say amen? Thy will be done will be part of your desire in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You'll ask what you will. And it'll be done unto you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You'll see the joy of His deliverance again. Wow. And then He went on to say, I've spoken these things unto you in John 15 that my joy might be in you. What was part of His joy? I know that my Father always hears me. And He's always with me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might be in you so that your joy might be full. God is so good. Hallelujah. He said, if I shut up heaven and there's no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. This is for disobedience. These are corrective judgments. If they're not in America, I don't know when they're coming. When are they coming? If they're not here now, when are they coming? It's one thing after another that we can't address and we can't resolve. Can you say, man, we need God's blessing. And we're not going to get it through the preaching that doesn't represent getting people to pray that prayer of repentance that we just got excited about praying, because we want the joy of His deliverance back. Can you say, man, there's nothing out there in the gold and silver material world that is worth my son's salvation. I'd rather see my son saved than to drive an Escalade today. I'm not saying that God wouldn't give me an Escalade. If you feel led to get me one, I'll park my truck and drive it. But I'm not after the Escalade. In fact, I don't think I could enjoy it. I can't imagine parking it in a Wally World parking lot. That's Walmart for you Tampa people. Wally World, yeah. That's Wally World, yeah. And Blockbuster's Black Blister. Black Blister, remember that. If I shut up heaven, there's no rain. I command the locusts to devour the land. If I send pestilence among my people. If my people. This is a response to chastisement. This is not a bunch of self-righteous people who feel we don't need to repent, going up in Washington praying, God bless America. These are people that recognize we've sinned. We don't have His blessing. We are under His chastening rod. It's hard for self-righteous people to figure out that we could actually be wrong. Our righteousness may not be meeting His requirement. And I'm going to tell you where it breaks down. Let me break it down real quick. When you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive. Because if you don't forgive men, Christ will not forgive you. I didn't say that. The man you got to do business with said that. You're not doing business with me. You're not doing business with that talking head on the television. You're doing business with Him. Can you say amen? No matter what I promise you, what they promise you. Ultimately, you're going to have to do business with Him. And He said, if you got aught and you don't forgive, it's not a faith issue anymore. It's not a matter of seed for the need anymore. It's not a matter of writing a check anymore. It's a matter of getting right. Amen? I got a wife here. She's been my wife for 47 years. My Bible said we're supposed to be heirs together, not pulling this way and that way, but heirs together of the grace of life. And the Bible said if we get at aught with one another and we don't settle it, we need to get it settled. We're one. God looks at us as a unit and expects us to move that way. He says if we're wrong, our prayers are going to be hindered. That's not a faith issue or a check to an evangelist. That's between me and her and him. Not me and her and them. Can you say amen? We got to get that right. God says it's going to hinder prayer. If I've got secret sin that I haven't confessed in my heart, and God knows it today if it's there, and God knows, I'm not going to go looking for it. I don't need to look for it. You know why I don't need to pry? Because God sees it. There's nothing hid. And we're so self-righteous and we haven't been preached righteousness and challenged on this issue until a lot of people got it and they're not dealing with it because they think God must not make it an issue because all I have to do is write a check and God's going to pour it out. This is more than a financial transaction going on here. God says if there's pestilence in the land, if there's trouble in the land, if there's no blessing, if there's no deliverance from me, there's a reason for it and there's a solution for it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Behold, my hand is not short that it can't save. There's that power of God coming into play in answer to prayer. My ear's not heavy that it cannot hear. But your sin have separated between you and your God. Remember when they went into the promised land and it was promised land? And we're trying to just grab promises out of the Bible because promises are there and not be right in their heart. And one of the things God told them, don't take any of the spoil. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to provide for you. All this junk's been offered to idols. It's polluted because it's been worshipped with false God worship. Don't touch anything over there. I'm taking care of you. You don't need their gold and silver. But there's a man called Achan. He's heard what everybody else heard. But man, he sees this thing, and it is pretty, and it is shiny, and it's worth a lot. And this guy could be a rich man if he could sell it somewhere. And he sees it, and God says, don't touch none of that. All of this I'm doing is supernatural. I've been giving you manna out of heaven. I've been giving you water out of a rock. You don't need this. Can you say, man, you got me? Why do you need this when you got me? Hallelujah. Why do you need the natural when you got the supernatural? Can you say, man? But Achan decides, boy, I can sell this thing. Take this thing down to the pawn shop. Amen. Get me some money for this thing. Amen. Why let it go to waste? Because God said to. That's why. Why would God let that go to waste? It's not going to waste. You don't need that. You got God's blessing. Why blow God's blessing? You know, you can't buy joy with that gold. You can't buy peace with that gold. You can't buy a night's sleep, a good night's sleep. You can get one of those super mattresses, amen, with a special foam that costs $2,500. But you can't sleep unless your conscience is clear. Can you say, man, I can sleep on a lumpy mattress tonight. I might get up sore the next morning, but I can sleep on it, praise God. Hallelujah. He takes it, and he takes it home, and he hides it under the rug. He puts it underneath something. He's got it hid. And how does God indicate that this is an issue with him? Because there's a little city called Ai. And Joshua says, just take a small group. We've said victory, 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 victory. Just take a small group of guys and go up to Ai. Because we can easily conquer them. They have a little bitty army, ain't nothing. They went up there and got whipped, came back with casualties and injuries. And Joshua said, whoa. Yes. If the covenant people are being defeated by the enemy, there can only be one reason. Because if God is for us, that can't happen. Something has had to happen between us and God. And we need to get it straight. He started preaching righteousness, didn't he? Can you say amen? Didn't he preach righteousness? Didn't he preach righteousness? Isn't it easier to write a check and get blessed than it is to get right with God? I'd rather write a check and forgive my enemy if I had lots of money. Amen? I'd rather just write the check and keep on hating on you. Amen? I get to get my blessing and keep on hating on you. I feel good all the way around. Can you say, man, I can keep hating on you and get my blessing by writing so-and-so a check? No, I can't. I can't hate on you and get a blessing. I don't care what his letter said. I don't care what God said. I can't do it. God said, when you stand praying, something's going to happen. I'm either going to listen or I'm going to close my ear. I'm either going to reach forth my hand or I'm going to withhold my hand. Your sin separates me. I won't hear it and I won't help. But when you get right with me, it turns around. Praise God. Amen. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The righteous, say it with me, the righteous. Hallelujah. And his ears are open to their cry. If he hears us, we know we have the petition. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. Everybody say it with me, so I'll hurry and quit. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Hallelujah. He'll restore unto us the joy of his salvation, his mighty delivering hand. Can you say amen? And you know what David said in Psalm 51? Then sinners will be converted unto you, and transgressors will learn your ways. When they see Zion in victory, when they see the church in victory, can they say amen? And they say, who is as a God like their God? God so nigh them in all that they call upon him for. I can't afford to be coddled. I can't afford for somebody to pet my flesh. I need somebody to help me put it on the cross. I don't want to go to church where they care more about my money than my soul. I want somebody to care about what happens to me when I'm in the emergency room. And the doctors are scratching their heads, and nobody knows what to do. I need somebody that cares enough about me to challenge me to be in a position that I can cry unto Him before the pastor even gets there, and He can listen to my cry. Can you say, man, that God can come through in my life? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence, I wish I had 2 more hours, but I don't. We're no service tonight. We do want you to have a great fourth and not be pressured with time. And if the rain quits, cook them whatever you're going to cook. But listen to this. Get right with God. Hallelujah. If that happens, if there's judgments in the land, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and listen, here's that heart attitude that has to change and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive whose sin? The sins of that old world out there are our sins that have not been confessed. I'll forgive you their sins. And what happens when the church really gets right and is revived? We like a city set on a hill. We can't be hid. All the people that won't give you the time of day, recognize something is different in that person. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It's incredible how that works. The Bible said you better get ready for that. You get really right with God, what's going to happen? Or is it just going to be you? No, it's going to affect a whole lot of other people when they see you're really right with God. When you quit trying to win the argument. When you quit trying to be the big shot. When you get rid of your pride. Can you say, man, I don't have to win the argument. Did you know I don't have to win that argument? Amen? Amen? I don't have to win every argument. Sometimes I need to just walk away. Amen? And I hope I have the grace to do it more and more in my life because I love to win the argument. Can you say, amen? Amen? But the Bible said avoid foolish and unlearned questions. Because all it's going to do is gender strife. You're just going to get further polarized. It's not going to solve the thing, even if you're dead right. There's some people you need to just say, I'm going to commit you to God. Go home, read your Bible, and I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Ain't going to satisfy them, but just get away from it. Can you say amen? The battle is not mine. You're right, brother. Amen. I can quote that one. Praise God. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord. Spurgeon said when all that stuff starts, he said, I'd sooner defend a lion. Amen. A lion don't need me to take care of him. Can you say amen? He can take care of himself. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. You know why he's sleeping? Because ain't nobody going to jump on him. Can you say amen? Nobody going to jump on him. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Listen, Mr. Spurgeon said, God is going to defend his own name. God is going to vindicate his own name. Amen. I'm a preacher. I'm a proclaimer. Amen. But God is the one that brings it all to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. Atheism will not finally win the day. It failed in Soviet Russia. It failed in China. Can you say amen? God, listen, the devil would rather have a false or impotent religious system than he would atheism, because where that vacuum was, there's a mighty revival today. And you know what he wants to create in such a religious nation like America? An impotent religious system that doesn't get people right with God, so God can't legitimately bless America. False prophets who say peace, peace, when there is no peace. But God said if they'd stood in my counsel, they would have given Israel word from my mouth, and it wouldn't have been petting on the back. It would have been, get right with me so I can bless you. I love you, but I can't bless you until you get right with me. If God is a just God, then America ought to fear his justice. Can you say amen? Oh, I want to see revival in the church that'll spread to a nation. Everyone in this nation clearly will not get saved. But there are people who will never be saved until they see Christians living out the faith. Can you say amen? Because a lot of preachers have turned a lot of people off. Because when I was out in the, I was full-time minister for 25 years. For 12 years I worked and ministered. Never stopped preaching. Never missed a Sunday except for vacation in 30, going on 37 years. I'm into my 37th year. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. There have been mornings I didn't feel like getting out of bed. There have been mornings I was so discouraged I couldn't get out of bed. There's other times I had the hulky flu. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had a white man's flu, but it's tough. Can you say amen? It's bad. Praise God. Amen. You're lucky to be different in that respect. Amen. I don't know what kind of flu you had, but I had the honky flu. Amen. It was bad. Amen. It was bad. Amen. I blew my nose and prayed. I put Afrin up in there and prayed. I gargled and prayed. Can you say amen? I come to church. I just come. Amen. And preach the gospel under the anointing. And went home and hoped. Amen. Listen to me. Prayed I wouldn't get too broke up so all in my sinuses wouldn't come out. Amen. But God took care of me. Amen. I came here when I didn't feel like it. Came to honor God. Amen. Just wanted to let the devil know I am not defeated. Praise God. Hallelujah. I serve a mighty God, a matchless God. I've come here, amen, with problems, and people have gathered around me and prayed, and I saw the joy of His salvation when a legion melted off of my tongue in about 6 days that had been on there for, amen, about 3 months, and I was getting so worried about it, getting ready for a biopsy if it didn't leave. But y'all gathered around me, laid hands on me, and God took care of it within a week. Hallelujah. That's called the joy of His salvation. When you're right with God, you don't need a mountain of faith to move a mountain. When you're right with God, positionally it happened through the blood. But personally it happens through the Word. Now you are clean through the Word, John 15, that I've spoken unto you. He loved the church and He cleansed it with the washing of water. By the Word. Somebody said the Word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This thing has two edges on it. Amen. One is for the devil. The other is for my flesh. It's so easy to fight the devil with the Word. It's so hard to make my flesh get on that cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It discerns between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God said, man, whether you're a clergyman, whether you're an apostle, a prophet, a prophetess, whether you consider yourself to be a priest, a seer, whatever you consider yourself to be, whether you have visions or whether you have dreams, God knows what's in your heart. And God knows what's in mine. Can you say amen? And it's what He knows. It's not what people think or what we're convinced of. It's what He knows that's going to determine whether He comes through. Can you say amen? So David said, I don't even trust myself. He said, so Lord, search me. And see if there be any unclean in me. Turn that white hot spotlight on me. Why? Because he was hungry. He was pursuing a clean heart and a right spirit so that he could have the joy of seeing those giants fall again. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Seeing those prayers answered again. Seeing God come through. I'm not satisfied with pretty people preaching pretty messages. I want to be challenged with the truth that will nail my flesh to the cross. Amen? Amen? I want to conquer it because I need answers. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, this thing can turn around. Turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. What a difference. What a change. My eyes open, my ears attend. I'm ready to move, he says. I'm ready to answer. For now I've chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there. Talking about the Old Testament temple. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked. Wait a minute. Didn't David mess up? Wait a minute. Didn't David really mess up? Really, didn't David do what that guy that did in Tampa? Didn't David have an innocent man killed in cold blood? And he didn't do it to keep from going to jail. He did it to keep from getting caught in his act of adultery with the man's wife. Didn't he do it? You want to hate on somebody, hate on David a little while. Give the rest of us a break. Watched a young woman bathe. Laid with her. He could have had any woman in the city, but he had to have another man's wife. Impregnated her. Tried to cover his sin, because now she's showing and growing. And said, got to get him home from the battle. Where's her husband? He's a patriot. He's fighting for Israel. David should have been leading that battle, but he was sitting around eyeballing the ladies. King David, the giant killer. Amen? How in the world can God brag on David? Because he's saying the key to this thing is getting right when you're wrong. I'm ready to be merciful. I'm ready to restore. He said, if I send the locusts, you know what he said in Joel? He said, I'll restore to you the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, palmer worm, and the locust have eaten. Total devastation. Years. He said, but it won't take years to get it back. I'm the God of restoration, but I need people that repent and get right. Amen? Isn't that good? He's bragging on David. Despicable David. Bring him home. Let him go in and have a relation with his wife. Give him a leave from the battle. He came home and sat outside his house. What a patriot. What a man. Better man than me. Hello? Back in the day when I was a young man. That's my honey. I want to be with her. He sits outside his house. He won't even go in to his wife. He said, my brothers are dying on the battlefield. And I just can't have pleasure and ease while they're fighting and dying and bleeding. What a dedicated soldier. Amen. David should have given him a medal and took his punishment. David should have repented right then and there and said, I wish I was half the man he is. God, I've sinned before you. Whatever I get, I deserve. But he kept trying to cover it. Now he's in a dilemma. How can I cover it up? The man's had no relation with his wife. She's pregnant. If he presses her, she's going to tell on me. And I'm going to lose face. My King David. He tells two of his war captains, when you take him back to the battle, take him into the thick of it. And when you get into the thick of battle, do what? Leave him. So he's out there with these two brothers, he thinks. He's fighting. And the enemy comes in force. And he said, in the name of God, we're fighting in the name of our King and the name of our country. He's standing his ground and he looks around and nobody has his back and nobody's there with him. You know what the enemy did? They cut him to pieces. And David said, it's done. My sin is covered up. But when David repented, amen. You talk about some psalms. Talk about some psalms talking about the mercies of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Praise God. He tells Solomon, I'll bless you like I blessed David if you'll walk before me like David did. Did David mess up? Yes. But what did he do when he was confronted? He repented. And he was real with God. God restored to him those years. He made him a great king. And it was an honor there's grace in the Old Testament. Don't tell me there isn't. Not the same as the new, but it's back there. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can you say amen? And so did David. Hey, don't tell me that's not unmerited favor. Don't tell me, amen, that's not mercy enforced. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know what they called Jesus to honor him? Amen. Because of this man's repentance and God's restoration in spite of his sin. You know what they call Jesus besides Son of God and Son of Man? Son of David. Can you say amen? Why? Because he's one of the most honored kings in all of the history of Israel. Not because he was perfect, but because he was perfectly honest when he was wrong. Wouldn't it be great to see some preachers lead the way? Get down before God and said, I have pursued the gold and silver and the things that are going to pass away. But from today forward, I'm going to preach righteousness. I'm going to preach Jesus. In fact, I don't want to know anything but Jesus and Him crucified. We'd find out if God wanted them on television. The ones God wanted would stay. And the ones God didn't want would go off. And the ones that go off, good. Hallelujah. God wants this church to go on, it'll go on. God don't want it to go on. It'll only take 30 days before it'll close. That's how close it all runs all the time. Ain't that right, Sister V? That's all it would take. But God is still God. Hallelujah. And evidently He still wants her to go on. Praise God. Now my eyes shall open, my ears shall attend to the prayer that's made in this place. Now, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, Solomon, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I've commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom. According to as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel. But he said, if you turn away, the blessing is lost, the curses come, the chastisement and judgments hit the land. That's why preaching righteousness and receiving that message of repentance is so vital to what happens from here on in America. Some political party out there believes if my man, my woman gets in, everything's going to be all right. I'm telling you, this is bigger than a political issue. This is bigger than the right or the left or the people in the middle. This is bigger than the independents. It's bigger than the Republicans. It's bigger than the Tea Party people. It's bigger than the Democrats. This is beyond all of that. This has to do with the nation and the God that made her great. God has a personal investment in America. We're not a pagan nation. What I read to you clearly indicates we were founded clearly on Christian principles. Can you say amen? And what we need from the pulpits of America, beginning at the church, is a message of repentance. Because there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise in this place. One of the things that's supposed to happen is we receive communion. And they did uncover Achan's sin. When they took care of that, God restored the salvation to them. They saw His deliverance again. They sung the songs of victory again. Because there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Amen? So I want a clean heart today. The Bible said when you come to Holy Communion, and we're not talking about that exactly per se, we're talking about how we honor this service. Unworthily means that we treat this without the holy attitude that we should come to it with. Because there's not one person in here worthy of the blood of Jesus. Every Christian in here has been made worthy through the blood of Jesus. And that's what makes it so very glorious. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we choose to walk in repentance when we fall and get up and go on and pursue truth and be honest with God and each other and ourselves. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus has a continual action and continually cleanses us from all iniquity and all unrighteousness. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be right with the Lord? And if you're not, isn't it good to have the opportunity to get right? Yeah. Right in this service this morning. Would you bow your head as they come to serve Holy Communion? I'm going to ask you if there's anything in your heart that you need to deal with, that you wouldn't wait till you get home, not wait till your private prayer closet, that right here, right now in your heart, that you'll ask the Lord to forgive you. You'll ask the Lord to cleanse you. You'll ask the Lord to help you to overcome whatever it is that you know that you need to deal with, so that when you cry unto Him, His ear will be open, His hand will reach forth, and we can see the salvation of the Lord. And when the world about us sees the victories in our lives and the answered prayers and God coming through, they will cry, "Who has a God like your God, so nigh you in all that you call upon Him for?" And many of them, I believe, will ask us a reason for that hope that's in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we can tell them about Jesus Christ, and sinners will be converted unto Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we'll be effective in evangelism because of God's restored blessings in our lives, in our homes, in our hearts. Father, I love this congregation. I wouldn't do anything purposely to hurt anybody in this room. But I know Your Word is going to always pierce the flesh. And Lord, we need that flesh pierced. We need it nailed to the cross. Father, we want it on the cross, but it has to be pinned there. We can't crucify it without pain. But Father, this pain brings gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die to myself, even before going to heaven, there's great gain. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You today for victory in Jesus as we receive the tokens of Your love and mercy. And everyone said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amazing grace. My chains are gone. Praise God. This is about freedom. This is about freedom. God set them free from Egypt, but not free from Himself. He was bound to them. And He said to Pharaoh, let them go that they might just go do their thing. No, let them go for one specific purpose, that they might worship Me. That they might build the altar back and worship Me in the wilderness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We have been set free to serve the living and true God. Praise God. Not set free to serve ourselves today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You have that? You can go ahead. Praise the Lord. We're almost ready. Just for a moment.